The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vora. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vora.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. We've been at war in the Middle East since 2001. We've been at war for nearly 15 years, five times as long as World War II. Democrats and Republicans seem to want even more war. They want to extend this war that has led to the current catastrophes, and libertarians have a bit of a different view. With me right now is Shane Landry, the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Plaquemines Parish in Louisiana. Shane, what do libertarians say about how to use the military? What did they say about this current situation in the Middle East?
Well, just to correct you briefly, Arvind, thank you for letting me come on today and talk about our views. I used to be the chairman. I'm just a member of the executive committee right now.
Okay.
But, you know, libertarians have a different view because of the non-aggression principle and the idea that one should follow the Constitution, which I think both the other two major parties have gotten away from. This notion of a living constitution has led both of them to embrace a view of progressivism that allows them to grow government, curtail liberty, and pretty much act on whatever the political winds dictate rather than on the rule of law. And so I think what we really represent as libertarians is a voice of reason, constraint, not necessarily isolationism, but certainly a non-interventionist, non-aggressive approach to foreign policy.
Now, what do libertarians say to do in these situations when you have a violent regime? What is the response? What's the libertarian response?
Well, you know, I think you have to separate a violent regime based upon who is it being violent against. Mm-hmm. And also, for instance, in Syria, you're dealing with a civil war, mm-hmm. a sectarian conflict between different varieties of Islam and various ethnicities. It's also a sort of a proxy conflict between the Shia and the Sunnis, and so therefore you have the geopolitical machinations of Iran and Saudi Arabia, and also Turkey involved mm-hmm. in that, and then NATO's all involved in it, and the United States is been meddling in that region for quite some time, for whatever reasons. I think primarily because it benefits the major corporate interests and the big mm-hmm. banks. But so we're involved in something that we really have no business being in. We don't have a dog in that hunt, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's to protect the oil, well, you know, I'm from Louisiana. We make oil and gas here. You know, that's one of our major exports. So you're undercutting my state's economy when you go and support the cheap prices of oil over there by keeping it flowing. It's almost beneficial to my state if they just fight one another and don't, you know, export their oil. But at the same time, we have a constitutional framework that allows us to deal with aggression. If somebody directly attacks the United States of America or its people, libertarians mm-hmm. believe the president should go to Congress, lay out the the facts of the situation and let Congress deliberate and vote on whether or not we should have a declaration of war. Not our authorization to use force, a declaration of war. And then we go to war and we win it and we come home. Neocolonialism is not part of the libertarian program. We're not there to take over other people's country. We shouldn't be there to nation build. In fact, the non-aggression principle would say that both domestically and from a foreign policy standpoint, that it would be wrong for states and militarized entities of any kind to forcefully socially engineer anybody. So it's not our duty, nor is it our right to go and tell other people around the world how they should live.
Now, how would reducing our involvement in foreign civil wars, how would reducing that be any kind of a benefit to America? If we, for example, shut down our military base, if we reduce our defense spending, how does that benefit Americans?
Well, for one thing, we're not antagonizing the two factions that are fighting the war, or as in Syria, there are multiple factions. And in many of the modern civil wars, you find that they're so sectarian and they're so tribal in their nature that you have multiple factions. And so there's not even necessarily a good guy, bad guy situation where we may have said in World War II, well, the Nazis were bad guys, clearly. Well, you don't have that situation in these civil wars most of the time. And so you have the problem of which side do you pick if you intervene? And, you know, when you pick one side, you antagonize the other. And it's just not, I think it was Adams said, we shouldn't find dragons to go out and slay. It's not our job to do that. We're defenders of our own liberty. Certainly we're friends of others people's liberty, but our own liberty is our primary concern. And when we vote for our leaders, we vote for them to protect our life, liberty, and property, and not to go and protect other people's life, liberty, and property. So I think we benefit by we're not spending the money, we're not sending our men and women to go and die on these sand wars that never seem to end. And the principal reason I'm opposed to this is it seems to have become an excuse to curtail liberty at home. You know, we go to war supposedly so we don't have to fight the terrorist here, and yet they're here, allegedly. And so to keep them from coming here and spilling over from the battlefield on the other side of the planet, we have to curtail our own liberties. We have to allegedly submit to ubiquitous surveillance and the creation of dossiers on every one of us. We all become suspects. To me, it looks like the real enemy with these sand wars is the American people themselves, and not necessarily ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Al-Nusra or any of these other groups. It seems like maybe it's just a pretext. Maybe they're afraid that we're starting to figure out the economic racket that has despoiled American wealth and prosperity and devalued our currency by almost 99% since the Federal Reserve came on board. I don't know, but they seem to be much more afraid of us than they are of these alleged boogie men and women from afar. Because if they weren't, before they curtailed our liberties, it seems to me that they would close down the border and have a real border security plan, an immigration plan that made sense, that didn't just let folks walk across a sovereign border. But we don't have that. We have this sort of fiction of TSA that harasses us and trains us to be groped and stopped and impeded in our travel. We have the Viper teams on our highways now. They've extended the border 100 miles inland from all the coast and every airport in the country. So their Homeland Security is quickly becoming a sort of a secret police operation. It's very disturbing.
And it's interesting to say that. I mean, we have this idea that there's – these foreign menaces that are going to try to come here and change our laws and restrict our freedoms. But it seems like we're doing a pretty good job of that all by ourselves.
Oh, I agree with that.
And what's especially troubling is that you have so many corporations, so many people making so much money on one side from war, but on the other side, they're making money by curtailing our freedom. Those scanners and stuff, people are making money from that. Every time they find some way to interfere with our lives, someone's making a whole pile of money from it.
That is absolutely true. And, you know, the prison industrial complex is another aspect of this whole curtailment of our freedoms. And I mean, if you go through the Bill of Rights, every one of them has been curtailed and abrogated in a de facto sense. That was the conditio sine qua non of the constitutional framework in the first place. Virginia and New York would never have ratified the Constitution without the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to protect the people, it's supposed to protect the states, and it is ignored routinely by both parties. And it is very, very disturbing to me. Right now, you make so much money with these private prisons, and we have more human beings, more citizens in prison than any other industrialized country because we criminalize so many nonviolent offenses. And now we're going after thought crime. It's crazy. And once people get into prison, you know, this becomes an economic commodity. So it's just another way to circumvent the 13th Amendment, in my mind, because then you're buying and selling the prison labor or at least they trade in debt now. So the cost of housing a prisoner, of providing medicine to a prisoner, of moving prisoners from point A to point B, all of these different things, that all is an economic engine for certain crony companies that live off of the large Leviathan state.
And that right there, I think, just summarizes beautifully the very unbeautiful situation of what's going on right now. And I think that it's on one side it's problematic, but on the other side, I'm glad that we have so many people like you working on at the state level, county level, a national level to really try to turn this around and try to shut this down. Shane, thank you so much for being on the show and for taking the time to share your insights with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure, and we really appreciate what you're doing. And thanks so much, Art.
Guys, we're just talking with Shane Landry, the former chair of the Plaquemines Parish Libertarian Party, current executive committee member. You guys have seen the amount of work that's going on at the local level and states all across the country. Right now, we're even fighting battles in states where the Libertarian Party had been literally forced off the ballot, and we're fighting back in states like Oklahoma. The question is this: why are these highly funded organizations trying to keep us off the ballot? And I think you heard it right here in this discussion. We are trying to shut down the military-industrial complex. We are trying to prevent people from making money out of pointless wars. We are trying to prevent people from making money through the restriction of our own personal freedoms. Now, if you want that to happen, you can't expect somebody else to fund freedom, because somebody else is going to be funding tyranny. You need to get involved. And that means you need to get to lp.org/states and get involved in a campaign in your state. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We were just talking with Shane Landry. We will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
No matter what your current situation is, you have a unique story to your life. It's a dynamically changing story that requires constant adjustments to lifestyle and environment. That includes your home. As you continue to enhance your living space, you're also making overall improvements to increase the value of your home. Join Laura Minniff each Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time for dynamic insights for your home environment on the Voice America Variety Channel. And start living now.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
What do you do when somebody wants to steal your money and then use it for a morally disgusting purpose? What do you do when somebody wants to charge you unjust and unjustifiable taxes and use that money to go bomb other people or get involved in civil wars? Hopefully, my next guest can help us answer that question. Marty Sweeney is the state chair of the Libertarian Party of New Mexico. Marty, what do libertarians want to do right now in terms of our foreign policy, our relations with other countries specifically? What do libertarians want to do about ISIS?
Well, I don't know about all libertarians. I know only about this one here and a few others that I speak with. But I think I can help out by mentioning that, first and foremost, we libertarians want to leave everybody else alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how we should go about that, of course, is just as easy as how we leave our neighbors alone. I guess it was Washington, or it may have been Jefferson, that mentioned how we should avoid entangling alliances, lest we be drawn into conflicts that are really none of our business. of course, that seems to be the business of foreign policy these days, and the business of these entangling alliances is to ensure that the United States is going to be involved in every little skirmish everywhere on the globe. To your previous question regarding what do you do when the money being stolen from you is going to bomb citizens of other countries and such, well, I would say we need to cut their funding.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's 100% right. I mean, we all understand this basic fact. You know, we have so many young folks that listen to this show in college. And let's say you're in college. Let's say your roommates cross the hall. You hear they're having a violent fight. Your first response is not to throw a grenade in the room. That would be preposterous. Because if anybody survived that, you're only basically sending the lesson and the moral to the world that the correct thing to do all the time, always, is settle everything with violence. And
well, exactly.
What?
Yeah, I mean, the solution to a problem isn't just, we want them to stop this or we want them to do that. Let's just force them.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be a moral response.
There is something to be said, I believe, in this particular time in modern history for the idea that we can lead by example. if we don't want people to go around bombing other people, maybe we can be the first one to say, listen, that's not what we're going to do anymore either. We're not going to go around shooting everybody every time we don't like something. And maybe as an example to everyone else, then we can say, look, we're a powerful country. This is not what we do. Maybe you shouldn't do it either. Right now, we're basically telling the world, if you want to be a superpower, the way to do that is shoot everyone who disagrees with you.
That's not the way to win friends and influence people, for sure.
So, Marty, what would you say we should be doing right now? What should libertarians be doing? What should the country as a whole be doing? What should we be doing at this time, dealing with the current situation?
Well, as libertarians, I think we should be holding offices within our local parties. We should be running for office. We should be writing letters to the editor, to every newspaper that we can think of, calling into talk shows such as yours, and generally just making a nuisance of ourselves, of the powers that be, because they are not good for the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, there have been those that have argued that some of the current problems in the Middle East, and specifically the rise of ISIS, have actually been an unintended consequence of U.S. foreign policy. Do you think that argument holds any water?
Well, I'm sure that there's a grain of truth in there. It could just as easily have been the intended consequence.
And, you know, it's while, you know, at first, when we first hear that, it sounds kind of far-fetched, but on a real level, if we go to war with ISIS, there's a lot of companies, a lot of people who are going to make a lot of money from it.
Oh, and sure. War is big business.
And it's become one of America's, unfortunately, one of America's biggest businesses. Now, in New Mexico right now, how are libertarians responding to the request to go to formally declare war, to go to war? How are they responding to that?
I don't hear anything good from the circles that I travel in, which aren't exactly broad, but I do speak with a lot of townspeople here. I'm in close contact with some of the county representatives, such as our the county clerk here, and I guess we're just a bunch of gun-toting peaceniks out here in New Mexico.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's take it from the other angle. Let's say that tomorrow we do, as a nation, what libertarians have wanted to do for decades, which is shut down all these foreign military bases, stop getting involved in other people's civil wars. Stop trying to force nations to be built in the way that we would find it convenient. What happens if we step back? How does that make life better for any of us?
Well, I'll tell you, the average Japanese citizen, the average Japanese taxpayer, last time I heard, is paying less for the expenses associated with the defense of the Japanese homeland than the average American taxpayer is paying for the defense of the Japanese homeland. I think that if the United States wants to get serious about saving some money, all we need to do is say, hey, Japan, you're a modern nation. You want our military bases here. You're going to have to start paying us for that. And have them pay all of the expenses with fuel, ordnance, housing, all the stuff that goes into a military base. Let them pay for it, and maybe add 10 or 20% to go for the United States deficit reduction.
Mm-hmm. And chances are, if we stop this policy of military welfare, I believe we're going to see two things. One is going to be we'll just spend less money. And that means more money that all of us can spend on things that we find more useful than blowing up people. Maybe education, maybe entertainment. I mean, it could be anything.
Well, I suppose there is another be a form of entertainment too, Arvin.
Sure. But there's another.
Not a real good form.
No, that's definitely true. But there is another thing that I think is very important, which is if we end this policy of military welfare, if we say, listen, if you have a battle to fight, you need to fight it yourself.
One of the things that U.S. citizens are specifically barred from is helping other countries militarily. That's the business of governments with one another. So if, let's say, someone escapes from a particularly tyrannical government somewhere in the world and comes to America and he does well, he tries to bring his family over here, provided there's no, you know, impediments associated with that. But he cannot send arms to his country so that they can take care of their own tyrant in their own way. That's against the law. You can't send munitions and arms to a foreign country as a private citizen. Only the government can do that, which means the decision to do so is taken out of the hands who might maybe care a lot more than, you know, the folks sitting up there on the Trilateral Commission or something might do, or the CFR.
And there is actually, I mean, a pretty extensive history, you know, just briefly before we run out of time, but there is a pretty extensive history of Americans volunteering militarily. I mean, there were plenty of volunteer brigades, you know, famous example, of course, Teddy Roosevelt, that joined other militaries to fight causes that they believed in. So we're not saying that people can't fight for what they believe in. We're just saying maybe they shouldn't steal money in order to do it.
That's right. Just like when it comes to educating their children.
Exactly. Libertarians have never said, you don't have the right to educate your children. We just said, you don't have the right to steal money to educate your children. And I think that's a very, very key and very important difference between the two things. Marty, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show and for sharing your insights over here with us about how we can reduce our involvement and our spending in foreign countries, particularly in the Middle East.
Well, I want to say you're welcome, Arvin, and you know you can count on me. I've been around the party for a long time, and I don't plan on giving up now.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we're just talking with Marty Swinney. He is the state chair of the Libertarian Party of New Mexico. Now, what you've seen from Marty and from our last guest, Shane, is that there are plenty of people that feel exactly as you do. Plenty of people that are absolutely done with fighting other people's civil wars. Plenty of people who don't think that it makes any sense for, as Marty just pointed out, for the average American taxpayer to pay more for Japanese defense than the average Japanese taxpayer. No one thinks that makes sense. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, Japan's a, you know, especially an economically powerful country that can afford. I mean, it's not like they're destitute. There are a lot of people that feel exactly as you do. There are so many of us who are working actively and could use your help. Whatever special skills you want to bring to the table, or just effort that you want to bring to the table to help reduce our involvement in the Middle East, to stop blowing up either enemies or sometimes to stop blowing up friends. We don't want the government to steal your money to blow up schools and hospitals, or, and as was recently done, to blow up Doctors Without Borders. We don't want that. Neither do you. And if you want to actually move from just disliking a thing to trying to shut it down, you need to get to lp.org/states to get involved in the Libertarian campaign in your state. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We just finished talking with Marty Swinney. That's the state chair of New Mexico. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling, whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
voiceamerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We all want to see an end to the violence that is being either indirectly created or just encouraged by the United States foreign policy. We want to see that stop. With me right now is George Filley. He's the state chair of the Libertarian Party of Massachusetts. George, what should America be doing to disentangle itself from the mess that we've gotten ourselves in?
For starters, we should stop bombing and invading large numbers of foreign countries. We have troops overseas in Mali, Cameroon, Chad, apparently Libya, apparently Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, at least at one point Nepal, the Philippines, all intervening in their domestic issues. The worst of the lot is possibly Mali, in which there was a military coup, and we are intervening on the side of the dictators who staged the coup and against the elected civilian government, which is hiding at the north end of the country, supported by the local Islamites. But the first answer is you stop bombing, you stop invading, and you bring the troops that are doing all this home. Now, I didn't say bring absolutely all the troops home. We have a stack of mutual defense agreements around the world. Mutual defense agreement is like an insurance policy. You are taking the risk that you will get involved in a war, but you are getting the insurance that if you do get involved in the war, you have allies, which in general is a good thing. Also, mutual defense greatly reduces the likelihood of war because an aggressor knows, you know, you attack someone, their friends will come to their aid. But the main answer is stop bombing, abandon the colonialist nonsense that we can impose governments on foreign countries as we're doing at the moment in Iraq, and in particular abandon the anti-American religious war against Islam, which is being waged by President Obama and the Republicans.
It is.
That's a good start.
It is interesting to see that, you know, the thing that libertarians always talk about, that the Democrats and Republicans are essentially puppets on two hands of the same corporate monstrosity. We're seeing it just coming to fruition and coming to light in this just blatantly obvious way. To what extent do you think the lobbying from defense contractors and other interest groups is leading us astray?
Lobbying from defense contractors is a significant issue, especially for defense welfare, which is the largest welfare budget we have. The other issue, though, is jingoism and hate-mongering of which Donald Trump is simply the loudest, though not necessarily the worst, of the lot. After all, it was one of his competitors who called for the use of nuclear weapons in Syria. We'll bomb them until they glow. The answer, though, on what we do about it and is, first of all, as a good libertarian, I would say we eliminate defense welfare and substantially cut the size of the armed forces. And this has to be phrased in concrete terms. The number of aircraft carrier groups gets cut to 3 or 4 from a dozen. The F-35 strike fighter, which doesn't maneuver very well, gets eliminated from the budget. The size of the army, take the all of the divisions, reduce them to brigades with extra officers for fast mobilization. We have wonderful commando forces. They do a superb job. When they're told what to do, they obey orders. However, the officer training arrangements for those should be limited in size and scope to the people that are actually needed to be officers of those few special forces units. On the same line, somewhat more radically, 200 years ago, close thereto, we opened military service academies. They were the country's original defense, and not defense, engineering schools. We've got plenty of engineering schools. The service academies have served their purpose, and having served their purpose, should be ended. And they were a nice tradition, they're a fine tradition, but they're obsolete. In particular, the Air Force Academy is being used on a large scale to infiltrate Christian nationalists into the military, and that should be brought to a drastic stop.
Now
I can go on.
Now, what the critics are saying is that, you know, we need to handle ISIS. You know, we got to take care of ISIS. It's this issue that we need to go to war against. Well, how do you respond to them? How do you respond to people that are saying that this is an emergency?
First of all, it's a war on a religious group. It's un-American and unconstitutional. Second, ISIS in Iraq, which was the major issue, is the front for the old Saddam Ba'athist groups. It's a civil war in Iraq between the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Kurds, and our puppet forces. Curiously, as has always been true around the world, puppet forces don't fight very well because they have nothing in particular to fight for. I note that 15 years or so, after 14 years anyhow, after we invaded Afghanistan, the resistance Taliban is still active and today invaded and attacked what was allegedly the most secure base in the country, and fighting was still going on Wednesday. The answer, though, is ISIS did not attack us until we attacked them. That's a good example of why foreign intervention is bad. The French, of course, this horrible thing in France, or so people will say, where hundreds of people were killed and wounded. They tend to skip over the thousands of people who were killed and wounded by the French in Syria, and the 750,000 Iraqis we killed in Iraq. But the core issue there is the French people were betrayed by the French government. The French government started bombing the capital of the Islamic State and forgot to warn the French people that when you bomb someone, they are likely to shoot back. And they are likely to shoot back in ways that you will not like. And that's exactly what happened. Paris was a counterattack by the Islamic State against the French in a colonialist attack on ISIS. The best message is stop doing this.
Now, do you think there's a freedom of the press issue over here? I mean, what I've seen, you know, we've seen tons and tons and tons of footage, you know, from the Paris attacks and related attacks, but we haven't seen, you know, I don't think I've seen very many, if hardly any, pictures from the front in terms of what's going on with America.
We are trying to keep secret the fact we have troops in Syria. That wasn't done very well. I imagine it will be done less well when the Russians accidentally bomb them. I'm sure accidentally is to be taken seriously. We do have troops more or less on the front line in Iraq, though, thank God, not many of them, if any, have been killed yet that I've heard about. And the answer is that we have a large corporate American press, which is very responsive to the desires of the federal government, which is that we cheer up a war. Because, hey, war is the health of the state, isn't it? unfortunately for us, and unfortunately for the imperialist, capitalist, etc., well, capitalism is good, but defense welfare is bad. Fortunately for us and the Internet, the truth does come out. The minor detail that the great majority of the American people are against foreign wars like this is a very important issue, which all libertarians should take to heart.
Now, when you say defense welfare, explain what does that mean? I mean, it's a thing we hear about, but what exactly is it?
Well, once you may remember Ronald Reagan's line about welfare queens and Cadillacs, and mm-hmm. that's actually literally true. The defense contractors' boards of directors have Cadillacs. Their engineers prefer BMWs, of course. And it was basically, for example, we are building the F-35. We have a defense budget that is large as the next 10 countries in the world put together, and most of those countries are our allies. There is no real rationale for that spending other than it takes money out of the poor, suffering taxpayers' pocket, or better yet, it's funded by borrowing. It puts the money into military contractors buying all sorts of stuff like the $800 million Navy cruise drone, which doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Troops we put into Syria, that was approximately five of them for $400 million, something like $80 million a soldier. You know, you can buy a jet aircraft for that, a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
And you have very expensive, very complicated systems that serve very limited purposes, or none whatsoever except to keep the defense contractors in business. That's defense welfare. It's impoverishing our country, and to the extent it's funded by borrowing, it does something else. It takes even more money out of the poor taxpayer's pocket and puts it into the pocket of all of the federal bondholders. So it's basically robbing the poor to enrich the rich.
And I
yes,
think
you
that
see?
And I think that as more people learn about this, you know, more people are going to do exactly what we're trying to do right now, which is to just shut this system down, dramatically cut defense spending, shut down all these unnecessary bases, and bring all our troops home. George, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today and for sharing your extensive insights on U.S. foreign policy, especially what should be happening right now in the Middle East.
Arvin, it was great to be here, and my message as always is, vote libertarian, vote for a good America. Bye.
Absolutely. Guys, we were just finished talking with George Phillies, that's the state chair of the Libertarian Party of Massachusetts. Now, you've heard from different state chairs, county chairs, we all want the same thing. We all want to dramatically reduce our involvement in other countries' civil wars. We don't want to get involved in religious civil wars or secular civil wars. We don't want to force countries to be molded in whatever bizarre image our bureaucrats come up with. We want to use our military for defense, and that's it. We don't want to continue military welfare. We don't want to pay for weapons that don't work. We don't want to provide free military to every country on earth. We don't need to have a military as big as the next 10 nations combined. And if you agree with that, if you want to see the military get smaller and less intrusive and less problematic, not bigger and make us more enemies, then you have to get involved. And that means you get to go to lp.org/states and get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. You might work on social media, go door to door. You might even decide to run for office. But that first step is going to lp.org/states. We just finished talking with George Phillies, and we'll be right back with Lily Williams.
Stay. stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
The schizophrenia community faces tough challenges every day. The community includes individuals living with schizophrenia, their partners, parents, children, siblings, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and also their providers of healthcare and social services. To hear Dr. Gordon Atherley introduce members of the schizophrenia community who are sharing their experiences, tune in to Schizophrenia Community Radio every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news. Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We've heard from state chairs, county chairs, about what we should really be doing with our military. And with me right now is Lily Tang Williams. She is the state chair of the Libertarian Party of Colorado. Lily, what is the right thing for America to be doing with its military right now?
I think that we should really try to bring our troops home and close down some foreign bases. It's in our Libertarian Party platform that we seek peace, we seek free trade with other nations. I mean, I have been Chinese immigrant in this country for 27 years. It's like from day one I came to this country, we are involved in wars nonstop. And the result of that, training dollars spent, thousands lives lost. I do not feel safer in this country, you know, that it's not working. So we cannot continue to do what we've been doing to intervene in the world and spending lots of money and benefits the industrial military complex. And then they use the war to, you know, hike up our taxes and take away more freedom. I mean, it's not what Americans are supposed to be.
And what we're seeing is a disturbing trend that you just pointed out, which is with one hand, we're just doling out as much money as we can to military organizations and, you know, basically covering the entire world with our military for free. And then at the same time, we're restricting our own freedoms at home. What do libertarians say we should be doing what should we be just cutting military spending? Should we be changing our policy? What should we do?
Well, you know that our defense budget is pretty huge, and our country is broke. You know, we are into $20 trillion in debt, and neocons still wanted to expand the military spending where it's not paid for it. And I think American people are really tired and sick of the nonstop wars and constantly, you know, basically messing with the war fears. You know, I always ask people, I went to China in September. So that's the questions I face. Some Chinese asking me, it's like, why is United States always playing big brother war policeman role in the world and constantly doing stuff that, I said, well, that's the government. It's not the people. You know, most people in America don't want to do that. They want to end the war. I mean, that's our constitution is. Congress has to declare the war, and we need to be actually just stand firm on self-defense. You know, that's what the military is. That's what the federal government function is. But now that with our bloated military budget and the wars and continue going on in Middle East, it's something's not working, and people don't feel safe. So I think that what we should do is, of course, we were trying to use other diplomatic intelligence means to protect our country, but at the same time, just reduce our interventionism in the world, in Middle East especially, and get our troops home. That's what I would like to see, because I don't want to one more American life, soldier's life, to get lost there, and then as a result of that, Americans at home don't feel safer.
It's interesting that this perception has just spread now everywhere. I mean, every country at this point thinks that America is some sort of a meddling, just world nanny state, world police. And in doing so, we're in a real sense creating enemies. You know, we're creating strained relations with our allies. We're creating active enmity towards those who already aren't really on our side. Do you think that by reducing our military expansion, by reducing this behavior, we're going to actually make ourselves safer?
Well, that, I mean, it's a discussionable, arguable that some people think that, that other people wanted to kill us. It's not just because they resent our freedom, resent our way of life. It's actually some kind of result of our past interventionism in the Middle East. I mean, look at what we did. It's like, don't assume other countries don't know about it. I know lots of my Chinese friends know about it. You know, the U.S. involved in Middle East, because their involvement, they actually kind of indirectly created ISIS, and they supply weapons and supply money. And, you cannot say that we are totally innocent in this mess. That I think we have to put something in perspective. If we truly love freedom and love peace, then we got to stop this interventionist policy, and we got to trade, free trade with people all over the world. You know, what free trade brought changes to China. Because the Nixon went to China, opened up China, even though China was still communist that time, but the people learned so much about American products, American culture, American songs and music, and they start to want to be westernized in China. That caused, economical reform, and the 600 million Chinese were left out of poverty in the last 30 years. Think about that kind of progress. Think about that kind of, contribution to the world peace. You know, I would like to say that to focus on self-defense and focus on free trade and seek peace in the world, then use other our enemies.
And that, I think, is such a powerful message. It is free trade that spreads culture. It is free trade that makes people allies with each other. It's not just trying to obliterate each other that's going to make friendship. You can't spread culture with weapons. You spread it with commerce. Do you think that there's hope that if we reduce some of our sanctions that we're going to get more American culture spread in different countries?
Well, we really don't have a choice. In my eyes, that's more effective way, because embargoes we saw for many years did not work. Interventionism did not work. We shed thousands of lives from our soldiers, and we spent training dollars. And look what kind of mess we are in today. But if you look at the free trade results, even though some other countries temporarily still are under government control, cannot free trade with us. But at least as American citizens, we should have the right to free trade with other nations and their people on our own. Our government should not put a lot of regulations on us. It becomes government-managed trade instead of real free trade. You know, for example, Cuba, if Cuba people are still not free yet, but at least we have option, want to trade with them. And, you know, it's an amazing process when you start trade with people and you actually, bring in your products with your culture, with your beliefs, and slowly that can change the culture, the people's beliefs in that country, even though that country may be still under tyranny. That's exactly what happened to China. I could never even come to this country to become an international student if we did not open doors with China.
Absolutely. Lily, and that is such a, you know, powerful message right there, that is with free trade, with open trade, with getting rid of sanctions and having real free trade, that we really change culture. And by doing that, we can use a method that actually works instead of using force, which clearly doesn't. Lily, thank you for taking the time to be on the show with us today and for sharing your experiences and insights.
Thank you.
Guys, we just finished talking with Lily Tang Williams. She's the state chair of the Libertarian Party of Colorado. You've heard her talk on this show about education, about economics, and today about military policy. And what you'll see when you talk to libertarians is that we have a clear and consistent message on what's going to work based on what actually does work. Not based on what we hope will work, but based on what does work. We know that commerce does work. We know that trade does work. And we know without any question that trying to be this world police, this world nanny state, doesn't work. And if you are tired of being forced to pay for ridiculous ideas that don't work, and if you want to have some things that actually do work, then you're going to need to put in some work yourself. And that means you got to get to lp.org/states and get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. Working on a campaign is hard work, but it is exciting. And you know that you are contributing to the improvement of this country and, by example, the improvement of all countries that will look to the actions of libertarians worldwide and find ways to make life in each country better than it is now. And if you're ready to do that, go to lp.org/states. Thanks for listening. I hope that we can make a difference, and I know that with your help, we'll be able to. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, signing off next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.